Thanks, Pastor. That was a very nice introduction. I do appreciate it. You're right. I've been down the road. How's everyone doing? Great. Good, good, good. Well, as you can imagine, I'm kind of an unchurchy guy. And I was just sitting there a few minutes ago thinking how when I do things over and over and over and over and over and over again the same way, about the 50th time, my mind goes someplace else. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not that I'm disrespecting what's happening, but it's like I've been there so many times, I want to go someplace else. You understand what I'm saying? And so tonight, with your permission, I'd like to do something a little bit different. I believe this is of God because it's been in my spirit for quite a while. Here's my problem. Some time ago, I began seeing church as we practice it as, I want to find the right words here because I do not want to disrespect what we do. It seems to me like I walk into a lecture hall or I walk into a theater and it's not that I want to be entertained, but because we spend so much time in other avenues and sitting in front of a television set 4 or 5 days a week, and we trained our minds to sit, listen, look, and sometimes be entertained. And we are still carrying a church structure from the 17th century, especially from the Catholic Church, where they were taught to come and listen and be quiet and go home and put into practice what we've taught you. And I've been looking at that for a while, and I'm thinking, well, what can we do? You know, I mean, that's our structure. That's what we do. That's the way we've been trained. It seems right to us, and there's nothing wrong with it, really. But tonight, what I'd like to do is I'd like to not be church. I'd like to be family. And so, with your permission, I'd like to have you all move as close to the front as you can for a reason. And the reason is because I don't want to just sit here and talk and have you listen. I want you to talk back. I expect we're going to have questions. I expect we're going to engage with each other. And I expect that when we leave here, we're going to have a better understanding of why we trust God. There's a difference between trusting God and believing God. A lot of people believe God, and that's not hard. Unbelievers believe God. God is. There's evidence of Jesus and the works of the apostles and the church through the centuries. And so all around us, we're about to celebrate Christmas. Why we celebrate Christmas? Well, we believe God. We believe it was the birth of Jesus. At least that's what we celebrate. So believing God is easy. Believing God doesn't require any faith. Is that, you understand? Is that okay? Do you agree? You don't agree. You agree? Okay. Over here? Okay. So the difference between believing God and trusting God is miles and miles and miles and miles apart. The fact that God is, and we believe that He is, we believe that He is. But the fact that we trust Him is entirely different. And I just want to tell you something that I heard a couple of weeks back. It's worth repeating. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we have the story of creation. First, God created everything, then He created mankind. And as He creates Adam in chapter 26, we understand that He gave him dominion over the earth and everything in it. And the analogy this individual drew was this. Adam was a spirit. We're spirits. Adam had the ability to look into the face of God and look into His eyes face to face. And God looked at Adam, and Adam looked at God. Yet Adam was created out of the dust of the earth, or the elements of this earth. And so there was a part of Adam that was earthly. There was a part of Adam that was spiritual. And so mankind really, in the truest sense, is the intermediary between heaven and earth. We look into the eyes of God. We are spirit beings. We see God face to face, and yet our feet are planted in this earth. So we're dealing every day with the spiritual and the earthly. And because of that, we're in conflict. We want to be more spiritual, but if you're working a full-time job, if you have a family, if you have all kinds of demands placed upon you on a daily basis, you're very earth-oriented. Is that true? You find that true in your life? I do. I mean, you know, so there's this conflict going on the inside of me all the time. And because of this conflict, sometimes I feel very, very spiritual, and sometimes I feel very, very earthly. But I know that I know that I know that God is God, and I am His child. And no matter what goes on down here, I'm still looking into the face of my God. And He is my Papa, and I am His child. And no matter what else goes on, no matter what goes on down in this realm, I'm still fulfilling that Adamic purpose that God created us for. Make sense? Questions? Okay. So because of that, our journey in this earth is truly a journey. And every one of us have a different journey. I can't do Pastor's journey. He can't do mine. I can't do Sister Lou's journey. She can't do mine. There's nobody in this room that can do my journey. You weren't created for that. You were created for your own journey. And that journey always leads one place, into the presence of God. And God is always, always, always bringing us to a place of, I don't want to say more knowledge, because I don't need more knowledge. Knowledge is cheap. But understanding who He is, what He is, what He is doing in my life, what He's doing in your lives, you know? I'm just in the middle of a book right now called The Honor Key. And the author is basically saying this: the key to a relationship, a key to having your prayers answered, a key to everything is honor and love. And if we refuse to honor one another, if we refuse to honor our relationships with each other, we are actually disconnecting from what God wants us to do. He is unable to bring us into that place where we're inhibiting the work of the Spirit of God in our lives by not honoring each other, by not honoring the church, by not honoring our pastors, by not honoring our music ministers, by not honoring each other. The only way to have a community is to honor one another. And in honoring one another, we honor the creator of the community, which is God. And so we naturally then are able to honor God because there's no prohibition to doing that. Make sense? So, you would think by the title, why I believe, why I trust God, would be about me. But it's really not. It's about Him. Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit to infuse us with everything we need to be in a relationship with our God. And without the work of the Holy Spirit and our submitting to that work, we can't really go where God wants us to go. We were given the Spirit of God just the way Adam was given the Spirit of God. He breathed on us and breathed that Spirit into us. And because we have a God-breathed Spirit, we became truly alive. Okay? Now that I'm truly alive, I have a response to that. I can inhibit it. I can slow it. I can speed it up. I can control it. I can submit to it. And throughout our lives, we do all of those things, if we're honest with ourselves. There's been times when my spiritual growth has been snail's pace. There's been times when it's been very quick. And it depends upon how much I've submitted myself to the Spirit of God and what's going on in my life. And sometimes the things of the world creep in, as they do for all of us, and we slow down. And sometimes we kind of get a hold of ourselves and pull ourselves along and say, this isn't right. I need to get back to church. I need to go do this. I need to go do that. And pretty soon we're moving along at a pretty good pace again. As Pastor alluded to, our history, Nancy and I's history, has been colorful, to say the least. We began as Catholics, got ordained in the Catholic Church. I did. And the short story is I got the left foot of fellowship out of the Catholic Church when we were in Oregon. Started looking for something else. And because we were Catholic Pentecostals, we weren't going to give up the Spirit of God. So we started going to Pentecostal church, and then I got transferred to, my job transferred me to California. In California, we run into a church down there with Rhema pastors, and 1 year out of Catholicism, we're at Rhema. And you talk about hauling some baggage in there. Because I've got 3 years of Catholic theology floating around with Brother Hagin. It was fun, believe me. There are several things I took out of Rhema. First of all, I took a lot of knowledge that I found. It was good, it helped me, but the important things were, two of the important things were the integrity of God and the integrity of God's Word and love. Dad Hagin taught us love. He was a man who loved. You know, I mean, he didn't teach it. He just showed it. And so by his demonstration and the way he lived his life, I learned that love was important. I also learned that God's word was truth and it was life. And I learned that God could be trusted. Now, I didn't trust God the way I trust God today. I learned that he could be trusted. There's a difference, isn't there? Okay. So, the upshot of it was we pastored for a while, and we ended up here some years ago, and I worked for Pastor Jim for about 5 years, and then we went off to the desert, and we moved back about 5 years ago. In the process of those journeys, I had some experiences in my personal life, near-death experiences, and I have to say that I believe with my whole heart, based on my experience, this is me talking, that every person in this room at some point in their life is going to face something that they're going to have to know that they can trust God for. Amen. And if you wait until you have to learn to trust God, it's a long ways out. So I would suggest, and this is my suggestion, that we begin now working on our skills of trusting God. For me, the reason I trust God is because I don't have any other choice. I don't know where else to go. I don't know who else can help me. I don't know where else to turn. And why would I want to, since I trust him so deeply? God has never failed me, ever. He has brought me back from the brink of death at least 3 times. All kinds of financial issues, God's fixed it. He can be trusted. Amen. He can be trusted. Our issue is that because we got our feet planted so firmly in terra firma, we have come, because we have learned that we can't always trust people, we can't trust jobs, we can't trust our finances, we can't trust the government, we can't trust on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So we have become so self-sufficient so self-determined that we can make it on our own, that we skip this process. We think trusting God is maybe too spiritual. I don't know. But we have to trust God. It's the only way into that inner peace that passes understanding. Because as long as I trust Roger, I'll never have peace. Never have peace. You? What do you think? Come on, this is supposed to be interactive. More than nodding our heads. Who's got a comment? We're in conflict. Conflict. And who's the author of conflict? We know that. Instinctively, we know. But how do we overcome? I have never had so much peace in my life as I have today. I don't care. Nothing really. I have to say that's not true. I left my keys in one of the cars I was driving the other day, and I got back to the airport, and I reached to get my keys so I can go home, and I have no keys. And I finally called one of my friends, and I said, James, can you come get me and take me home? Sure. So he comes and gets me, hauls me all. He's on the south side of town, hauls me all the way home. He goes home. Great guy. All night long, I fretted about where those keys were at because I didn't want to lose them because you know how much it costs to get new keys made. And so I went into work the next day, and I figured, well, I'll catch the first ride that's going over here to Palmer Lot, which is right over here behind us, and I'll look through the cars that I drove. Wasn't a single ride going that way. So I hop back in my car, drive over here. I'm fretting. I'm worried. I'm going through all the worldly kinds of things that people do. And I go into the office over there, and I talk to the girl who's in the office. Her name is Ashley. And I said, Ashley, these are the cars I drove yesterday. Brought them into R1. They're deletes. I said, can I please go see if my keys are in there? She said, well, I only have the keys to one. She says, but she said, one of the guys may have the keys to the other that haven't been turned in. So she called him, and he said, well, I'm on my way over there now. And he walks over there, and he said, let me check it. And she said, well, see if there's some keys in there. He said, yeah, there's keys here. I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I can't honestly say that I'm always trusting God. Sometimes things get away from you. But the reason I trust God is because he's so trustworthy. And he is so willing to prove to you that he is trustworthy. He is so willing to prove to you that he can be trusted. When Nancy got that bad report a while back, I was so proud of her that she did not for a second stop trusting God. And the report got worse and worse and worse. And her options weren't all that great. whatever she did was going to be painful and it was going to be protracted and unpleasant, to say the least. She prayed about it, and she said, well, the Lord told me not to do any of that, to trust him, and that's what I'm going to do. You don't build that kind of trust in 24 hours. You build that trust over a period of time of watching God move and operate in your life and do things for you. And you know, we talk about answered prayer. It's not really answered prayer per se. It's changing things so that they're like the kingdom of God should be in our lives. And because of that, you know, she's not here tonight. She's watching on television with my daughter, who's here, and I am so proud of her. She's just been a real help to us, and we love her a lot. Sorry she has to leave tomorrow, but she's got to go find a job someplace. Oh, I know where she's going. She's going to Las Vegas, New Mexico, where I understand it's still 5 degrees, Star. So, but, you know, over the years, through adversity, you can trust God or you can trust yourself. And if you continue to trust yourself, at some point, it's going to be hard. You're going to come against something that's really going to be difficult. If, on the other hand, in adversity, you begin trusting God, when that big one comes, you'll be okay. And I don't mean to imply that God brings adversity into our life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of all of them. And when these afflictions come, he uses them for good. And the good that he uses them for is he teaches us about our relationship with him and how much we can trust him. There's no magic bullet. There's no easy way, in my opinion at least. It's a matter of, I'm either going to do it or I'm not going to do it. And it's a decision. And at some point in your life, please hear me, at some point in your life, you're going to have to make a decision that I'm going to believe God. One of the problems we have is many folks don't believe God. You know, they waffle back and forth. They want to believe God, but then it's easier to do something else. And I'm not against doctors. I love doctors. I see a bunch of them. You know, I'm not against any medicines or treatments or any of those kind of things. But the underlying foundation under all of that is, Father, I trust you. I trust you're going to lead me to the right place. We're going to do the right thing. And we're going to come out of this. And no weapon formed against me prospers. And every tongue that has risen against me in judgment, you said you condemned it. So I accept that. I believe it. Yes, ma'am.
In listening to what you're sharing, looking at stuff that I've gone through, sometimes I know that I trust God, but I don't always trust myself to hear God. And I think if I knew God was saying, do this or do that, I would obey God because I trust him implicitly. But what if I'm missing it and the enemy gets in and brings in this doubt in my ability to actually hear him? Is this in my head? Is this in my spirit? Is this just because so-and-so did it this way? And so the enemy tries to bring a new level of confusion but yet there is a new opportunity there to trust him beyond my ability, so that if I mess it up, he's going to get me out of it anyway. And I've been learning that lesson, because I err on the side of caution. If I'm not certain, I'm just going to stand there. And I think God is telling me to step out, but I'm not sure. And it's like, I hear God teaching me, so do you think I'm not big enough to catch you if you step out on accident and it's wrong? So it's like a new level of trust beyond my ability to do the right thing. The fact that he's already done it and he's big enough to fix anything I might mess up. So take that, we call it that leap of faith, that I think this is what God said. I might be wrong. And that's a process of learning. Part of that learning that we go through and in trusting God, even though I might mess it up, he's still big enough to catch me and work it out. You know, I heard somebody say one time, Mama never did have any trouble finding you when it was time for dinner. If Mama needed you, she found you. It's like the sixth sense. God doesn't have any trouble talking to you and telling you something, what you need to hear. So don't question his ability to keep you when you think you might mess it up. That makes sense?
Yeah, it's a process of developing our human spirits. And we all know what we were like when we first got born again. We were dangerous, you know. We wouldn't let anybody go without first talking about Jesus and our new born again experience and all those kind of things. But as you mature, hopefully you don't grow away and get cold. You mature your spirit. So it's a maturing of the spirit where you begin to hear God, and the voice gets a little quieter, but that's okay, because now it's not a voice, it's an impression. I feel impressed of the Lord, okay, to do this or to do that. But with regards to trusting God, it's not so much moving out as it is moving in. Moving in to where he's at. And you know, the way our lives are, that's a real challenge sometimes. But experience, as you say, you know, you have an experience today where, geez, God came through. Hallelujah. About one of those every week in concern, you know, before long, you can trust God all the time. You know, come on, Daddy, you know. So there's that element of growth involved in why I trust God. But at the foundation of why I trust God is he is trustworthy. And not only is he trustworthy, what he said is trustworthy. Because when we talk about the word sometimes, the word almost takes on a life of its own, as if it's, there's the Bible and then there's God. Mm-mm. No. The words are only recording what God has said. And he is an unchanging God. He cannot change. He will not change. And what he has said is truth, and it is life. Now, the decision comes. Will I believe it? Or will I choose another path? That's the decision. And the more times I decide that what he has said is the way I'm going to go, and that's what I'm going to trust, and I'm not going to trust all these other avenues of escape that I have, but I'm going to trust him and him alone and allow him to bring that escape to me And sometimes it's just supernatural. Sometimes there's things you have to do. Sometimes you're led of the Spirit. However it comes, God can be trusted. He can be trusted. That's right.
Too many people are looking at the Word of God as a general information rather than a specific answer.
Right.
If Lou gets up in the morning and leaves me a note on the bar, and that note says, fix the doorbell, I don't have to hear her voice to know what she wants. But too many people are not willing to take God at His word. They only want to take Him at His voice.
Right.
God, speak to me. God, give me an answer. And He is like, I left your note on the bar.
Yeah. That's right.
When He said, with His stripes, you were healed, that is not a general information. That's a specific word from God to whoever reads it.
Right. Yes, it is.
And you said in the beginning, God is trustworthy, your word is trustworthy. We can't differentiate. Well, I need to have a word from the Lord.
Mm-mm.
Do you have a note from God? Did it say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Did His note say, I'll supply all your need? Did His note say that you are my child and I've made you an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer? If we won't accept His note, can we really trust our ability to accept His word?
Yeah, absolutely. Because His word is His words. They are spoken, God's spoken word reduced to words. So He said it. We always say, He said it, I believe it. Okay. He said it, it was written, and I don't have to hear from God every time if I know what His word says. So when I begin trusting that word, I'm trusting Him because they're inseparable. I cannot not trust the Word and trust God. I don't know how you do it. They are the same. And from my perspective, they are the same. You know, so. Okay, well. What do you think? I see a lot of this, but what do you think? I'm not going to let you off that easy. I appreciate your patience tonight as we do this, because, again, I don't want this to be a lecture. Because what I found with lectures is lots of times, by the time I get to the parking lot, I forgot what somebody said. And this is far, far, far too important. A subject. Your whole existence, future existence, depends upon whether or not you trust God or not. And how deep and how precious your relationship is with your Father is dependent upon how much you trust Him. So that's why I love the Wednesday night, because everybody here is pretty mature. Been around for a while, had a few issues of your own that you've had to fight through. I can recall a few pregnancies in this house that required a tremendous amount of trust to get through. People who've had sicknesses and illnesses that have required trust to be victorious in. Right now in our household, we're facing some things, and we'll get through it.
Amen.
Because we trust God. And it's not pleasant. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. Doesn't make any difference. Yeah, James. Come on up here, man. James, come up here.
I've found that with my walk with God. And at times where I've been in my life where there was no other person or persons or thing or anything but God for me to trust. And after that trust and fully trusting him and to see him come through, you know, I mean, because it was some amazing things. I mean, life and death, it's, you know, and see God, and then no one can tell you that, well, that was somebody else, well, that was a coincidence. Well, no, you know it was God, you know. And no one will ever be able to take that away from you. No one can ever tell you anything that, oh, well, God don't do this. Yeah, I know what God does. The God I serve, I know what he does, you know. So that once that trust is there, that's something that will never be taken from you. All you do is enrich that trust as you continue your walk through life with God. Because someone, no one will ever be able to take that away from you. Because you can say, I met God, I know God, and I know what he'll do for me.
In the old covenant, whenever the Lord would bring his people out of something, whether it be a battle or something, he would command them to build altars. And a lot of times I think we negate the trust that we have in the Father is because we haven't appreciated the victories that he's given us. You know, if we think on those things, like Brother James said, if we remember those things and we erect those altars in our heart, and as pastors told us, keeping a log of the answered prayers and the things that God has done, those are areas that we can go back and say, well, if he delivered me, just like David, if he delivered me from the bear, the lion, who is this fool that's standing in my presence? So I think that with anything is, you know, the situations may seem insurmountable, but the same faith that got us through the past areas will only help us even more so overcome the other things that try to present themselves against them, because they're all lies. The truth remains the truth. It's just, do we grab hold of that truth and allow it to maintain us, or we do look at this thing that looks so big and realize it's just as defeatable as the other stuff that he delivered us from? So just erecting those altars in our lives will keep us with that heart set on trusting God continually.
You know, something comes up and, okay, I know what the word says, I'm trusting God. And then one day goes by, and a week goes by, and a month goes by, and 6 months goes by, and you're like, okay, God. And that's where the enemy tries to come in and defeat us. Well, if you were really trusting God, if you really believe God, and sometimes even our own minds, well, was I really trusting God? Because it hadn't happened yet. That's where I struggle sometimes. It's the time period. And we know that we can't go by that. We've heard pastors say it 100 times. Pardon? Right. But that's where sometimes we struggle, or I do, is the time period. Okay, God, you know, even somebody prophesied this. It's going to happen. Start happening today. And yet 6 months later, we still don't see anything. But it's taking that stand no matter what. I mean, sometimes I say, how can I not believe God after what he did for Jim? How can I not believe God and trust God to do anything? But it's that time period that we have to just continue. And that's where the continuing of the word and continue hearing and, you know, putting that into us constantly so that we don't let it slip away from us.
have just found that what helps me, because I struggle with that too, like the time of things, like, because I mean, I've been blessed with my parents, I've been in church and had a relationship with God, it seems like my whole life. And so it's kind of like, okay, I trust you, and I struggle with that too as far as the timing. But one thing that he's kind of showed me is to look at, find the things that he's like given to me in the little things, whether it's like when our car had a flat tire and, you know, I just was able to immediately go to thank you, God, that it wasn't on the trip to Texas City, and thank you that it was only, that it was fixable. It wasn't like we had to buy a new tire. Or it's, you know, thank you, God, that he woke me up this morning. Or just trying to find those little things that kind of pushes me through. Or not like pushing me through, but just, yeah. And it gives me that ability to just continue to trust in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to be God-minded. Because, like I said, you know, I'd like to leave you with this picture of Adam. You know, he's standing here like this, looking face to face with God, with his feet firmly planted in the earth. Now, granted, there wasn't much going on in the earth that he didn't have control over at that time. But then Jesus comes along, and he's looking into the face of God, the new Adam, with his feet firmly planted in the earth. And what does he do? He creates new atoms. And here we are, looking into the face of God, the Holy One, the creator of all that is seen and unseen, the maker of heaven and earth, and our feet are planted in the ground. There's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because I am the intermediary between heaven and earth. And what I do between here and there determines what's going to happen there. And it also determines what is going to happen here. So, by trusting God and just being Texas bulldog determined that nothing matters other than my trust, I am going to be, for myself and for you, what you need us to be. Because I am going to have value to God and the earth. My trust of him brings value to the church, brings value to my work, brings value to my friends, brings value to everybody I know and everybody I touch. I bring value. But the value that I bring is the kingdom of God values. So it's important that I understand who I am and where I came from and why I'm here and why I trust God. It's not about me. It's about God. It's not about us. It's about him. It's honoring him. Trusting God is honoring God. And by honoring God, we honor everything that God is associated with. It's more important than us. More important than us. It is important to us, but it's more important. Amen? Okay, anything?
I love to speak to people, but this is one place I actually get intimidated to speak. That's why you don't hear from me that much. Oh, I know. I told people at work not too long ago, I said, I tried being broke, tried being poor, I tried being homeless for a little while, I tried not having faith in myself, and I said, none of those things work for me. And they didn't understand what the world I was talking about. They just thought he's like a nut because they think I'm kind of strange or something. But the point of it was is that I went through different things and I would always search for something, but I didn't know what I was searching for. And God moved me like across the country just to introduce me and bring me to this church to know you. And the point is like now I'll trust God, have been broke, and some of y'all know haven't been legally homeless, having a master's degree and people thinking you was an idiot and you weren't going to do nothing, doubting yourself, because when I needed something, there was somebody there to help me that God brought. When I needed a job that was paying $10 an hour, God moved that up to something else. But I learned to trust God just because I used to rely on my intellect. I don't care how smart I am. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care about anything. I just care, like, I know that God has something for me. God has something for other people. And that way I can be that vehicle to bring people into that sphere, just like everyone else, right? When my daughter was real little, her mother would hold her from me, and I'd sit around and cry, and I'd cry, and I'd cry, and I'd cry. Happened for a long time. But then I started understanding, because God would show me how much he loved me, what he did for me, what he did for my mother, what he did for all these people, and I couldn't even see it. It was like a map I couldn't see. But at the end of the day, I ain't seen my daughter in about 2, 3, 4 years. People come up to me and say, where's she at? But you know what? I've gotten to the point to where I trust God. I know what God told me. I can show other people. And there's a trust. I have to trust him. And I trust him now because I know he loves me. I know who I am in him. Before, I just knew that God loved me. I didn't know what he thought about me. I didn't have a relationship with him. And it's like now that relationship that we all know and that we exemplify to other people just by being happy with the city of Austin. I don't think I really want to be at the city, but that's where God put me, right? But the whole point is like, hey, I'm trusting him because he loved me. He loved me enough to show me who I was. He loved me enough to bring me through all these things. He loved me enough to put me in, to just bring me across the country. I didn't want to come to Texas, but I trust God now because he showed me all these things. He showed just like everybody else. And so it's so happy sometimes it makes me want to laugh and cry. So I just trust him because I realize all the things he's done for me, all the things he's done for me through other people, and then I can be that, I can be like, I can't think of the word, I can exponentially empower other people by what he's done, just because the hard times were the times where, you know what, I'm going to trust you, God. I don't know why these people fired me for nothing. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, and it's hard. Because like most of us, I think I'm smart. I don't care about that now. I don't, because the last, you know, I just want to, you get to the point where you're hungry for him. Instead of reading books like Marianne Williamson, I don't read any of that mess. Okay, what does God say? God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to read? So I just trust him because he's shown me who I was. He's put me in a place to be under him, to be around you. And so that's so beautiful. It's like, It's I don't know. I just trust him now where I never did. Sorry.
So do you begin to see the power that you have vested in this house? Come on, Bob.
Thank you for this night. I happen to be a very blessed man. I didn't go to church before I came to House of the Lord, so I didn't have a whole lot of garbage to get rid of. So, amen for that. And the teaching in this house is tremendous. All the teachers, pastor, all my brothers. So, it's embedded in me. And so I'm at the workplace, and something's going wrong. Well, by the time they throw a hissy fit, a wall-eyed fit, slinging snot, and everything else, and they're like, aren't you upset?
No.
What? You're not upset? I mean, look what's going on. No. Well, look at, that's your problem. You're looking at this, and you're not looking down the road. Forget about this. Let's go to see the finish. Well, how, you know what? And now, today I'm finishing up work, and I hear this gentleman calling me. So I walk over to him, and he goes, Bob, will you pray for me tonight? I said, absolutely. He goes, I said, no, don't worry. Don't tell me. I said, I sure will. I got your back, bro. And now people are coming to me. It's, I love to be an example of House of the Lord, the teaching that God is coming through to out to us, importing to us, and how to trust God with everything. Because there's times when I don't make it to church, you know, Wednesday nights or something like that, and I'm dazed because late, and I can tell if you don't get plugged in, and all of a sudden you're out there in that world system, and these guys are all talking like this, and next thing you know, Bob's like that, and wait a minute, I can't go there. So it hits you hard, and then you got to be like, hey, you know, that really wasn't me. Apologize. And, you know, show them the real godly Bob. And it makes me feel good when I go to customers and how I can share the stuff that I have learned here. You know, so praise God for that.
Praise God, Bob. Cool. Amen. Okay. Just checking to see if there's anything else the Lord wants to do here. I wanted to give you an opportunity to see yourselves and what God has done in your lives, and that you're not the only one struggling, that we all struggle. We all face the same types of things, but we have a promise. And no matter what things look like, no matter how bad things are, no matter how many bad reports come your way, no matter what disaster befalls you, no matter what, God is God. He does not change, cannot change, will not change. His word is trusted because they're his words. And I can trust my God. And so can you. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you for the privilege of exalting you tonight. And we thank you, Father, for all the goodness that you've brought into our lives and the many, many times that we could trust you. And you have shown us time and time again that you are God and you deliver your people. You love us. You care for us. Your great love, Father, surpasses anything that we can get out of this world. And Father, I thank you tonight as I honor you for this privilege. These are good people, and you know that. This is a good church, and you know that. And their journey, Father, is going to take them exactly the place you planned for them. And we give you glory tonight, Father. And thank you like we always thank you, because of Yeshua HaMashiach, your Son, who has redeemed us and set us free. Everyone agreed, said?
Amen.
Well, if you promise not to beat each other up headed for the door, exit quietly, you're dismissed. We love you.